In this episode, we're excited to have the multi-talented actor and comedian, Vinny Coppola. Donnie uses Starbucks and a dash of charm to win over the love of his life, and Mike gets confused when his wife is called a donkey tail. All this and more coming up on this episode of That Story Show. We'll be right back.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people!
Hallelujah!
Who watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, welcome back to That Story Show, episode 452, brought to you the week of October 12th, 2023. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, James, it's me, John, and that's not really that important, but I do have a question that's been bugging me all day.
Absolutely.
If two vegans get into a fight, is it still called a beef? I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess it could be called a tofu kind of beef.
Well, and if you're Italian and a vegan, which one do you tell first? You know? All right, I would be amiss if I did not introduce our guest. He is known in film. He's featured in the horror thriller Extra Mundane, available on Amazon Prime. He's cast in the superhero epic Samaritan alongside Sylvester Stallone. He's made appearances on popular TV shows, including the Nashville Network, HBO's Entourage, FX Son of Anarchy, Comedy Central, guest appearances on RFD Network's Larry's Country Diner, and participation in Turner South's Liars and Legends. He's created and developed and wrote an 8-part web series called Codename 12. He hosts a weekly podcast called New Bits with Vac and Vinny, available on most major podcast platforms. He's had Dry Bar comedy appearances on YouTube, a Dry Bar special called Vinny Coppola, People Person, actor and comedian. Vinny Coppola, welcome to That Story Show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, guys. Can I clarify one thing?
Yeah.
About the credits that you read. I did appear in the movie Samaritan. The movie Samaritan does star Sylvester Stallone. However, I was not in a scene with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh.
That would have been great. That would have been fantastic. But he wasn't even in town when we shot my scene.
Oh.
In that movie. Yeah. That was the first thing I asked when I got on set. Hey, is Sylvester Stallone here? Do I any chance I can shake his hand? Yeah. Nah.
No. Not a chance. Oh.
You said alongside. I just want to clarify that for everybody.
Okay, my bad.
No.
In the credits, you're alongside him. That's what counts, right? I mean,
there you go.
In the same space.
Excellent.
I'm a neurotic maniac. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, either way, we're thrilled to have you. You know, much better than Sylvester Stallone. So there you go.
I appreciate that. I'm gonna add that one to my credits too.
There you go. Just better than Sylvester.
James Kennison says.
Yeah, James Kennison. Who in the heck is that?
Far in life.
Yeah.
Another thing.
Yeah.
Another thing. It's Coppola.
Okay.
The way you pronounce it is correct.
Okay.
There's actually three ways to pronounce it because it's a very common Italian name. We say Coppola. Over there in Italy, they say Coppola, and there's also Coppola.
Mm.
So it can get very confusing.
Oh, I'm glad we got it right. And again, welcome to the show. Let's do some news nuggets. All right. U.S. customs officials seize giraffe feces from a woman at a Minnesota airport. Minneapolis federal customs agents rejected the plans of an Iowa woman who brought giraffe feces from Kenya into the United States for making jewelry. There you go. Stay off Etsy now. You just stay off Etsy.
It's like some real crappy jewelry. Sorry, it was right there. I had to.
She declared the feces during a luggage inspection at Minneapolis St. Paul Airport on September 29th. While it is possible to import draft poop with permits and inspections, the woman faced no sanctions as she declared it. However, a customs agriculture specialist had to destroy the feces. What'd you do today at work, honey? You know, you'll never
destroyed
guess.
Destroyed poop.
They had to destroy it due to health risk. Bringing fecal matter into the United States poses significant health dangers, as it would lead to the spread of diseases like African swine fever, classical swine fever. Classical, it's the fancy swine fever, Newcastle disease,
I say.
Foot and mouth disease, and swine vascular disease, all of which I've had, being from Georgia, all us Georgia kids. But these are all present in Kenya, and so they didn't want that stuff coming over. But yeah, how sweet of her. There was a photo, and it was a shoebox full of little droplets, you know?
Who would have- I got a question.
Yeah.
How do you destroy giraffe feces?
Not like you can crush it up or anything.
They're concerned. They're concerned about all those diseases and all that stuff. So burning's out.
Yeah. You know,
what? How do you what?
Bake it.
I'm gonna have to Google that later.
Put it. Yeah. In, I don't know.
How did acid?
What was
so? Are they sure it was giraffe? Are they sure it was giraffe feces?
That's what she claimed. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, she claimed it was
yeah. Giraffe. So they're probably going off of her declaration. I just wonder what her plans were. You know, did she have a method in place to sterilize this stuff before she turned it into a freaking anklet? You know.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to wear that.
Yeah.
Man, this gift stinks.
It's got a weird scent to it. You smell that?
I don't understand.
What is this?
Oh, it's a necklace. Wait a minute.
Out of all the parts of this beautiful animal, out of all the parts that you can make jewelry out of, let's use this poop. You know?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Is it when when it dries or something? Does it get like a sheen, like a pearl or something?
Yeah.
Why giraffe feces?
I guess you can polish a turd, you know. So,
MythBusters proved that.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. So I wasn't going to read this one. The original title was "Chicago Woman 104 Skydives from Plane, Aiming for Record as the World's Oldest Skydiver." So I wasn't going to read that. I'm like, that's not funny. It's interesting. But then I went to another website that had a more current write up on the same topic. And the title changed a bit. 104-year-old woman dies before Guinness can confirm her record as the oldest skydiver.
Oh, boy. Womp, womp.
I know. She died a little more than a week after she potentially broke the world record for the oldest skydiver. Dorothy Hoffner jumped 13,500 feet from a plane with a Skydive Chicago in Ottawa, Illinois, in October 1st. She likely died in her sleep Monday at Brooksdale Senior Living Center, said the Guinness World Book of Records, that is still working to confirm if Hoffner broke the record for the oldest jump from a plane. The current record belongs to somebody with a really interesting name of Sweden, from Sweden, who was 103 when she made her jump in 2022. So, yeah, I don't know how long it takes Guinness World Book of Records. She's older than 103. You'd think it'd just be a checkbox on a form somewhere, but
caught up in the paperwork. Right.
Yeah.
What if her only goal was to see her name in that book?
Bless her heart. Yeah.
She's like, I gotta get in there
somehow.
The only reason
she did it and she didn't make it because
man, it's so tragic.
I love people who break these crazy Guinness Book of World Records, like, you know, the longest, you know, people who rode the longest on a roller coaster.
Right.
And I'm like, really? I mean, it's
well, and they're
keeping track of that stuff. I love it.
It's a gimmick, really, because if you pay them they will come out and they will count your your collection, or they will watch you crush things with your head or whatever, and they will make up a record that anyone you want for like $5,000. They'll fly somebody out with the suit and they'll have a thing made, and so you can literally do anything. And when I found that out, I decided I did not want to be the guy with the most Buzz Lightyear collectibles, even though I think I am. I think that's
That's crazy.
So,
man, I'm 102, man, and what have I done with my life? I'm gonna get in that book. I'm gonna leave my mark on this world.
Oh, I hope she does. Post. What do they call it? Posthumous. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm rooting for you, Dorothy.
We hope it works out.
You can do it.
Well, I want to ask some questions of our wonderful guest. How long have you done comedy?
I've done comedy for, I've been doing it for quite a while. I moved out to California in 2009 to pursue acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of put comedy on the back burner for about 9 years. So I don't really count those years. So there's the qualifier.
Okay.
But my first time on stage was 1989.
Wow.
January of 1989 was my first time at an open mic. I did comedy in front of an audience.
What was that like? I ask because I am a comedian in the making. I have yet to do – I've done one stand-up, but it was a very positive atmosphere. No heckling was allowed, you know, on and on and on. So I've yet to do a real open mic. What was that like? How did you get yourself there? Were you nervous? You know, what was your experience?
I still get nervous, James. I mean, I've been doing it a long time, and I say, you know, if you don't get nervous, then you got to find something else to do.
Mm.
Okay. It's just a little bit of butterflies. There's got to be a little bit of excitement, or, you know, this might not go the right way. If you're not feeling that, you know, that's the reason I read that's why Steve Martin quit. He said, quit stand-up comedy. It just got too easy. He said there was no more challenge in it. You know, he'd go out and say anything and they'd all laugh. And I remember I read that somewhere. As for first time starting and what it feels like and all that, I had to be pushed into it. I was always fascinated by stand-up comedians. I've had tapes since I was very, very little before I even knew what the jokes were, you know, Richard Pryor, George Carlin. I remember a friend calling me up and saying, hey man, there's like this amateur comedy. And I go, oh, that's great. Yeah, let's go do that. Yeah. So we went, we watched the comedians. Next week he calls me up, I'm at work, and he goes, hey, you want to go see the comedians again? I go, yeah. He goes, what about you? Why don't you do it? You're fascinated with stand-up comedy. You're always telling jokes. Why don't you do it? I go, yeah, maybe one day. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, I just talked to the manager. He's going to give you 3 minutes, so you better get ready.
That's a good friend.
Well, and I got to tell you, I went and did it, that which was a couple of days after that. And I did 3 minutes. I got maybe 2 laughs. But I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
That first laugh, it just changed me. And I guess if he never pushed me into it, I guess I would have never known how badly I wanted to do it.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
You should just do it, James. You should just get up there, man. I mean, if you feel passionate about it, you got to just get up there.
I am. Yeah. I'm so scared. St. Louis is a rough city. And they don't mind letting you know what they think of you. And so I'm just, I'm so nervous. I'm so stinking nervous. Mm. But
did stand up in St. Louis one time a long time ago at Catch a Rising Star. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Did a showcase set for the manager. And never wound up getting back because it was so far. I was living in Florida at the time, and it just didn't make sense financially to drive all that way.
But right.
I'm going to get back there one day.
Now, on your website, you promote no sex, no religion, no politics, just goofball funny. And watching what I've seen online, that's definitely your style. What led to you leaning that direction? And is it harder to be funny without those crutches that a lot of people use? You know, it's to me, it seems funnier. It seems easier to be funny when you're dirty.
Yeah. And I'm by no means squeaky clean.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I would say I lean PG-13 and occasionally R, but it's not because of toilet humor, and it's not because of you know sex stuff or anything like that. And I don't make fun of religion, and I don't make fun of I don't do anything with politics, because, you know, at this level, I'm in the business of selling tickets.
Right.
Why would I want to isolate half the country? No. So I just stay away from politics. You know, I just want people to come to my show and just laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know?
So where do you get most of your material?
It's mostly observational. It's mostly driving. I mean, I do a lot of driving in this career choice, and something will just occur to me, and I'll just drive and mull it over in my head, and sometimes I'll act it out as I'm driving to a show or something like that. It's 90% of it is like that, and the other like 10% is hanging out with other comics and just bouncing ideas back and forth off each other.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So tell me about your podcast.
My podcast is called New Bits with Vac and Vinny. Vac is a comedian. I'm a comedian. And the premise of the podcast is we bring a new joke idea to the podcast that we are working on. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he gives me ideas for it. You know, I give him ideas for his. And then we bring it on stage, film it, so that the audience gets to see for the very first time what or how this joke did.
Wow.
First time in front of an audience. And then we critique, review, try to make it better. And there was a couple of times where it was like, ooh, you know. but that was and I wanted the audience to see the process. I want them to see it. So they get to see it fly or die. That's what Vac and I say. We're gonna video is gonna fly or die. You're gonna get a look at it.
That's good. I'm going to have to check that out some more.
New Bits with Vac and Vinny, yeah.
Yeah.
New Bit. I pulled up the YouTube and was looking at the thumbnails, and I thought for a second, is that Steve Martin here with it? Because one of the pictures, he's smiling, he's got his head back a little bit, and I thought Vac was Steve Martin.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell him that he's going to love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Do that. I'm a big fan of all of them, but yeah. You mentioned something a minute ago, and I wanted to jump back that you're talking about your first open mic night and that you got a couple of laughs.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you quantify as a laugh. Is it two or three people? Is it the room? Is it the inner person in your head?
Good question. The first laugh. The first laugh was felt like the whole room.
Mm, yeah.
First laugh I got. The second laugh I got was more like chuckle. That's, you know, it was
that
more like
a laugh.
Yeah, it counts as a laugh. They were making noise. They liked it enough to let me know they appreciated it with noise. You know.
Yeah. Nice.
Anyway, that's me looking back on this a long time ago, obviously,
right.
With my naive interpretation of all that at the time.
Yeah.
The two laughs was enough to hook.
No,
me.
Yeah. Yeah. Two.
Yeah.
More than enough.
Especially that first one. The first one was like, whoa, I was like, whoa. How I like this. You know?
Yeah. I want more.
I could get addicted to that.
Yeah.
John, I say comedy is a sickness. I do. I say love of comedy is a sickness because, you know, I've had some nights where it didn't go that well, not even that well, not even two laughs in 3 minutes well.
Mm.
And I'm going to get him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sick. nuts. Yeah, who wants to go back to that torture? You know,
I would probably like, I can't take this kind of rejection if they're not going to laugh at my joke. That's why I'm in podcasting, because I can't hear what the results are.
Yeah, that's true. You're not there.
That's funny to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Can get rough sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as you know, we're a story show, and so we would love to hear a story from you. We're going to hit our stinger here and pass it right over to you. So,
okay.
Let me tell y'all a story.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vinnie Coppola.
Hey, so I'm gonna. I think this will be a good one. It's one like the weirdest show or experience I ever had in stand-up comedy. And this is probably about 2008. And a couple of things you need to know about that is I was working for a booker who booked like these two-week runs. And they were through the Midwest a lot of the time. And there were these long drives in between shows, sometimes days off. So I would have my buddy who I was going to be opening for me. I would get the gig. It would be all the rooms, all the shows, how much money we're making, where they are and all that. And I would email him. And he was a good internet guy, a good math guy. And he determined whether we could make a profit. And if he said, yes, we can make a profit, we'd go.
Mm.
This particular one. This takes place in North Dakota somewhere. I don't know if you've ever been to North Dakota. But
way up there.
Way, way up there. And this was sometime in February. So there's snow on the ground.
Yep.
And here's an interesting thing about North Dakota is you drive on the highway, you know, middle of nowhere, and then you see a sign and it says the name of the city and it'll say like population 65. It tells you the population of the town. Yep. And sometimes there's hardly anybody in there. Well, this was one of those towns.
Oh boy.
We were performing in like, it was Minnesota or something. We had a long drive. We didn't want to buy another hotel. We wanted to save money. So I said, let's just go to the gig and we'll get the hotel room when we get there. We wound up showing up at like 8:30 in the morning. There's nothing around. We don't see a hotel. So we go into the diner, get something to eat. And everybody's looking at us. It's about six or seven people in the diner. They're all looking at us. I walk up to the lady at the counter. I go, listen, this is going to sound crazy, but do you know who, and I can't remember her name, but let's just say Kathy. I go, do you know Kathy blah, blah, blah? And I go, you're the comedians, aren't you? And we go, yeah. She goes, yeah, Kathy lives, make a left out of here, go down the street until you see the house that looks like a Holstein. I go, what's a Holstein? my buddy goes, that's a cow, Vinny. That's a cow. I said, really? It's a house that looks like a cow. Okay. So we go down. You ever seen a gateway box, a gateway computer box?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what this house looked like.
Oh, wow.
The whole thing looked like this. We knock on the door because we want to, you know, and bear in mind, it's like 8:30 in the morning. So we're like, should we knock? Look, I want to get in the hotel room. I want to take a nap. Okay. We've been driving all night. So we knock on the door and, I guess Kathy's husband opens the door and I can see him like this a little bit. You know, he's like stumbling around a little bit, obviously drinking. And he goes, hey, the comedians are here. And then I see the two women. It's their sisters, Kathy and her sister. And they're wasted, guys.
Oh,
it's 8:30 in the morning and they're wasted. And I said, hey, you know, hey, we're really looking forward to the show. Just want the hotel information. We'll go there. We'll catch a nap and we'll see you tonight. And they go, well, you're staying here. You're staying at our house.
Oh, my.
In the Holstein house.
Oh, the Holstein house. And guys, when I walk in, everything's a cow. Cows everywhere.
Oh,
everywhere,
no.
Cow.
Yeah, oh, everywhere. No.
Yeah. So she goes, okay, well, that's your room and that's your room. So I get the sister's room. And guys, I can tell you that this room probably hadn't been cleaned in, you know. I keep all my clothes on and I'm just lying there in the bed, like, you know, whatever. And I don't know, I sleep for a couple of hours. And then Dave walks in, he goes, hey, man, you know, these are, you know, we're their guests. We're doing the show for them. We should probably just hang out with them for a little bit.
Mm.
I said, okay, yeah, it's a good idea. So I walk outside. Guys, they hadn't stopped drinking.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I mean, they were just like, you know, I mean, they couldn't keep their heads up. They were funny. They were fun. They were entertaining. You know, right. They were, you know, hilarious.
They probably laugh a little harder when they're like that, right?
Exactly. They were laughing a lot, you know. At one point, one of the, I can't remember which sister it was, walks my buddy Dave and the other one goes, oh, you got to see this. And I forget. Listen, it's been a while. I you got to go see this. Towel drops. She's not wearing any pants.
Oh my gosh. Whoops.
And she's like pointing stuff out and I can hear Dave in the other room and she goes, well, this blah, blah, blah. And Dave's like, yeah, that's really interesting. Can you please put on some pants? And then she yells into the other room.
Pants on.
Hey, where's my pants? And they're like, I got your pants in the dryer.
Wow.
It was a madhouse in there. It was crazy. So, We survived that. They made us a little something to eat. We, you know, we took showers separately and we went to the show. And my entire show that night was basically making fun of them. I was just all I was doing because apparently nobody likes them in town. Nobody liked them.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, and she was the woman was thinking about buying the church and painting it.
Like a cow. Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
My big joke of the night was, among all the ones making fun of me, I go, ladies and gentlemen, if you think you hate her now, wait until you hear her plans for the church. So we finish up the show and like I said before, we're trying to save money on this gig because we want to walk away with a profit. We're trying to save money.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, okay, come on back, you guys, and you know, you can sleep. And but I said, nah, we got to get to the next gig. We got to get to the next gig. And I just wanted to get as far away as possible. It was the weirdest experience I've ever had on the road. Staying in their hotel, staying in their cow house, and
Holstein House of Horrors.
Holstein House of Horrors, and them just drinking. I mean, the guys, I tell you, they hadn't stopped drinking. And they hadn't stopped. They came to the show, kept on drinking. It was, God bless them, you know?
That's awesome.
I guess there's not a lot to do up there in North Dakota.
After you've painted your house, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what do you want to do now? We've got everything decorated. Let's drink. Let's drink.
Yeah. It looks like a cow. It looks like a Holstein.
Yeah, Holstein.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy.
Pants optional drinking.
I wonder if she was successful with that church if they would have served milk and cookies for communion.
There you go.
I don't know.
We're gonna institute some changes now that the color of the church has changed. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
The pews have been turned into troughs and milk and cookies for communion.
The Holy Holstein Tabernacle.
50% of my set that night was just me goofing on them in a lighthearted way.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Of course, they laughed the hardest. They were laughing the hardest at it, the two women. They were laughing. I mean, the whole audience, they loved it, but they were laughing the hardest at it.
Yeah, laughed their pants off, I bet, you know?
Yes, they did.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right. All that's left is, first of all, wonderful story. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing and letting us pick your brain a little bit about comedy.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
No. Let's talk about Facebook. You can find him at Vinny.com on Facebook. On Twitter, also Vinny.com. On Instagram, it's Vinny Coppola. And then YouTube.com/@Vinny.com is how to get to his YouTube channel and check out his awesome podcast. Vinny, I just had one more question, man.
Yes.
You freaking own Vinny.com. Who did you have to kill to get that name?
I
know some people. Don't worry about it.
No. Yeah, that's right. I
know some people that I can. Guys, I can take care of it.
That's right. Don't worry about it. Just, you know. Real quick, guys. You got another minute?
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
When I had first started doing comedy, my roommate, not the one that pushed me into comedy, but my roommate at the time was a big tech guy, and he saw the internet coming. And he said to me, he goes, "Hey, man, you're a comedian. You're going to need a website." And I said, "What's a website?"
Oh,
never even heard of it. And he goes, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." He goes, "I'm going to take care of it." He goes, for my birthday, I opened up an envelope that said Vinny.com. And I go, "What is this?" He goes, "That's your website."
That's amazing.
Okay. Whatever you say. Now at the time I was going by Hitman of comedy at the time. He tried to get me Hitman.com. It was taken.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah. So I like Vinny.com better.
No, it's great. You could sell that thing for $100,000 if you wanted to, I bet.
It could be a retirement plan.
$13,000 right now.
How much?
It's $13,000.
Wow.
By the way, that's the easiest way to find me. Just go to Vinny.com, VINNIE.com. All my social media is up there.
Yeah.
And you can just click right there.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you for coming on the show. You were a blessing, and it was a privilege for us to have you.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you so much.
All right. It's time for some listener stories. Is there anybody going to listen to my story? All right. So the first one we have here is Starbucks Situation by Donnie Trapnell in Rescue, California. My wife, Vanessa Trapnell, and I met at a Starbucks in Sacramento, California on 10/11/12.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool. That means you automatically have to get married.
I think it's like in the law somewhere.
Yeah.
What do they call those dates when they have a unique order to them?
I don't know.
I feel like there's a special name for it.
I bet there is. Smarter people than me would know. But anyway.
Yeah.
I had just gotten out of a rocky marriage, and her ex-boyfriend was still living at her house, so we weren't looking for anything other than friendship. In fact, her ex was in the car waiting for us the whole time while we were inside playing a game on our phones together. Eventually, she fell for my albeit limited charms and agreed to go out with me. So fast forward to 10/11/16, I asked her to take the day off work so we could celebrate the day we met, and my life changed forever. Picked her up, and we went to the same Starbucks and grabbed a couple of Frappuccinos, drinking them while we played the same game we played that first day we met. In a goofy attempt at a proposal, I asked her to join in me in my efforts to take over the world like a Bond villain. And when she accepted, I pulled out a ring and slid it on her finger. So then I said, "So the reason I wanted you to take the day off," and then I asked her if she'd like to get married right then. So we headed to the local county clerk and got married. So to recap, we got Starbucks, got engaged, got married, then finished our Starbucks. Hope it makes it on the show, Donnie Trapnell.
That's awesome. Everybody, that's a great story.
That is a good one.
I hope her ex wasn't still living.
Still in the car. Let's recreate the date completely.
Yeah. I even got your ex-boyfriend. He's sitting out in the car right there now.
Yeah. A rocky marriage. Did that mean Sylvester rocky. Stallone was involved in that or not?
Adrian.
No, oh, congratulations. Hey,
that was. So if they got married on 10/11/16, yesterday.
Was their anniversary?
Today is the 12th.
He actually did respond and say that this was his anniversary week. So happy anniversary, guys.
Yes.
Vanessa and Donnie sitting in a tree. KISSING.
Here comes love.
Then comes marriage. Yeah, Starbucks. And then marriage. And then more Starbucks.
Yeah, Starbucks. And then more Starbucks.
That's right. Can never go wrong.
Wow, yeah.
With more Starbucks.
Never, because that's what makes the world go round.
How'd you meet your wife?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
Okay. She was really good friends with the fiance of my good friend and roommate in college.
Okay.
And she was headed down to Southeastern, the college that I went to. And it's funny, crazy thing. So I was not really in a relationship or anything at the time. And Mark and Kristen, my roommate and his fiance, they were like trying to introduce us to each other, even though, you know, we had not met. And of course, this is before the internet and all that. I mean, not before the internet, but before, you know, cell phones and all that stuff, with keeping in contact. So they pulled out, they showed her a picture of me. And back in the day, I used to have like wavy hair.
Yeah.
And
it was he had great hair, y'all. I'm telling you.
I did. I had hair. And
it was like his defining feature.
Was it? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My cool hair. Now it's gone. I guess I had too much pride for it. But I had hair. It looked like Kramer from Seinfeld. It was just like was all like it was great. Just a stupid picture that they took of me. That's what Kristen had showed Amy. And the picture that
did she swipe left
me,
or right on that? Oh, they didn't do that back then.
I think I don't even know which direction you're supposed to swipe, but I'm sure whatever direction it went, it would have been towards the trash can. And the first picture that I saw of her was one of those glamour shots.
Oh man!
I was like always like, oh, I don't know if I could ever date somebody who did a glamour shot. And she was mortified later on in life when she found out that was the first picture I saw of her because she hated that.
Yeah.
Her mom made her go get all gussied up and have those glamour shots done. She didn't want to do it.
That was a phase.
She was living in West Virginia at the time, and I'm thinking, oh, this sweet, cute West Virginia girl got a glamour shot.
Her and all the realtors in the area getting glamour shots.
Glamour shots. We need to bring back glamour shots.
Yeah. We need glamour shots for men. You just get a lumberjack shirt and they rub some dirt on your face and start snapping pictures.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You could
that's a great idea.
You could have an axe or hold a gun, you know?
Yes. Stuff that you don't usually do.
Some night vision goggles. Yeah.
Just
anything to make you look super cool. And then put a Gaussian blur on there, you know? Just a little blur.
Yeah.
Hide those imperfections, you know? And then tilt your head just a little to the sideways. Put your fingers underneath your chin. You know, yeah, there you go.
Get a big cheesy smile. Oh, no, wait, you wouldn't do that. Like if you're hanging on a rope from the side of a mountain, you're tough looking.
Yeah. So if you're looking for an entrepreneurial idea, that's it. Glamour shots for men.
I don't know. It feels like a line of advertisements that Brother John would
maybe he should do an ad for that would be great.
You tired of looking like a stupid goofy Dumbo? I'll work on that. Maybe we can get something
together. All right, so okay, the story, I'm sorry I interrupted. She was glamour shots girl and
that was it.
Oh,
and so those were what we saw of each other. And then so she finally showed up at college. It was like, you know, the first week everybody's moving in and stuff, and I actually met her in the cafeteria, and she was super nice and friendly and good looking, and I shook her hand like, you know, you do.
You're not as blurry in real life.
Weird. Yeah, yeah. You look like a real person, and your hair isn't as big as I thought it would be, and there is no weird accent.
Yeah.
Yep, and so, and you know, it was one of those things that was just meant to be, I suppose, because I kept seeing her around campus and I talked to her and I would try to not be interested in her and stuff like that. But I was like, you know what? She's pretty doggone awesome. So,
well, and you didn't have your clown costume anymore, so you couldn't break up with her. So,
no, I was not a clown at that time.
You had no way out. You had to stick in there, you know?
So. I was actually doing some mime work at the time, I could have played the silent treatment, you know, but yeah.
Well, I'm glad I asked. That was a good story.
I thought you didn't. Yeah. Well, thanks. That's how we met. There's many other stories in line with that, like how we got engaged, but I could save that for another time.
Yeah. I know, what costume did you wear to that? I wonder. Let's see.
I asked her to marry me a couple weeks after we got back together. So,
after a breakup.
An idiot.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Jen and I broke up one time, and after that, it changed my whole life.
Same.
Like I was like, I can't live without this woman And it just, it aged me. I think maturity-wise and fear-wise and everything else, I had kind of played with the relationship, you know, and just kind of taken it for granted. But when she dumped me, I was devastated, like hardcore. Wouldn't have worked out. But anyway, we got a story from Asher Coombs. I'd like you to bring to the table.
Yes, I shall. This is the One Wheel War. 3 years ago, my family and I attended a church home group. Essentially, it's a Bible study to discuss the previous sermon. It was a dark midwinter evening, and I was riding my unicycle. Sorry. That just kind of struck me funny. I mean, it's not like you can coast on a unicycle, so you gotta put a lot of effort.
Yeah, he actually, I edited a little bit. I cut out a prequel to this where he went into great detail and a postquel, whatever that is, a PS at the end, a postscript, where he's like, if you don't believe that I can ride a unicycle, go to my Instagram. Because he was very concerned that we would not believe this story, and I believe it.
Oh man!
So
I mean, unicycles are. I had a friend that I guess you call it riding a unicycle, although I feel like there's a lot of work involved, balance and constant movement and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, on this dark midwinter evening, I was riding my unicycle to the meeting, complete with a headlamp to light my way. As I gazed ahead,
just getting all the girls.
Like, man, that's a weird moving car.
He was just, ladies, please back up. I'm trying to get through.
As I gazed ahead, I was startled to encounter 12 deer, including 4 bucks. I'm like, you had time to count those. I mean, you don't move real fast when you're on a unicycle. So I guess there's 12 deer and 4 buck right in front of me. Now, although it's a common sight in Grant County, Oregon, stalkers, I hadn't noticed them until I was practically right in the midst of them. To those unfamiliar, a frightened buck may become protective of its mates. These 4 bucks warned me by stomping their hooves and lowering their horns. Oh, yikes.
I'd be backpedaling.
That is scary. I've seen videos of deer attacking hunters. Ooh. And even though it's quite comical, it's also quite frightening.
Scary.
So, Asher says, it unnerved me, so I instinctively flashed my headlamp at them and emitted a series of bizarre barks in an attempt to scare them off. Well, it worked, but picture this. A 13, 14-year-old riding a unicycle in the pitch dark night, barking as it's using its headlamp to deter deer. Wow, that sounds like an album cover for the grunge band in the 90s.
Yeah, my next band is going to be Deter Deer. Yeah.
Deter Deer. Complete with a unicycle riding, headlamp wearing, barking. What do you call a unicycle?
Sounds like a
riding?
Christmas a carol.
Well, barking unicyclist.
Yeah. You just trade out the deer for reindeer and we're good. You know?
There you go. There you go. And then just it's a midwinter night instead of it was a midwinter night. Yeah. In this story here. So
I think Christmas needs more unicycle representation in its selection of carols, you know?
I agree 100%. Asher continues, I glanced around and noticed an older man staring at me in the bewildered silence. I nodded politely and slowly pedaled away. Slightly faster, though, making the whole scene even more comical. Because riding a unicycle at speed involves a lot of swaying, making me appear like I was bouncing up and down as I squeaked along. You should have just picked the unicycle up and ran. This thing's moving so slow. I never brought up this embarrassing encounter at the home group. Instead, I quietly sat in my own embarrassment. Well, Asher, thank you for sharing that embarrassment with us today.
Asher rides a unicycle, man. That's great. You know, people have one wheels. People have hoverboards. Yeah. People use electronic skateboards or regular skateboards. Asher has and uses a unicycle for transportation. That is a whole level that I've never seen or heard of in the unicycle world. I've seen guys do tricks. I've seen them, you know, do juggling and stuff like that. But just jumping on and going to your neighbor's house and accosting deer along the way. That's an adventure.
Chasing them down.
He's got a 10-speed unicycle. He shifts gears and stuff.
Now, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. My friend that I had that was a unicycle guy, we would go mountain biking, and he'd bring the crazy thing with him. And, he was better on the trail with that unicycle than I was on it with my bike.
That's crazy. Yeah, I've seen guys do stuff where they jump from, you know, like they get to the top of a barrel and then jump on top of a car and then jump on top of a roof and they're all balancing on this unicycle. And I wonder if Asher can do any of that. I'm going to have to check out his Instagram. That's all there is to that.
I'm going
to
do that too, for sure. I won't do it right now because I don't want to interrupt the show.
No, good idea. Mike Jones from California writes a story called Donkey Tail. Whenever my wife Juliana and I needed a lot of groceries, we'd go to the store together. After going through all the aisles and grabbing what we needed, she'd say, "Go get in line. I'm going to run back to the store and see if we missed anything." Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah.
It's game on then. She'll back off and go to the beginning of the store, and I'll head to the check linester.
Nice.
Good throwback there.
Yeah.
This game makes me uncomfortable because I impatiently attempt to send my brainwaves to the person at the register to say, hurry up. I would be saying slow down, but
yeah, exactly.
Pushing my thoughts through to their forehead. Meanwhile, my wife keeps running back and adding more and more to the cart and disappearing again into the aisles. I see. Her method is different than my wife's. My wife goes and stays gone, and I'm worried, is she going to make it back before the check linester gets to us? But his wife's just going and grabbing crap and coming back, So he's just ready for it to end. Meanwhile, he says, all the while I'm sending looks to the customers behind me, like, I'm so sorry. Cause they started off with a loaf of bread, you know, and now they got a cartload.
Two cart.
One time Juliana was on a roll. She brought chips and then some bananas, a plant, some salsa, eggs, and so on. It finally came my turn to the checkout, and the cashier said, "I see you have a donkey tail." And I'm thinking to myself, oh, they have some name for it when someone keeps adding to the cart while somebody else is in line.
A donkey tail.
Yeah, a donkey tail. I said, yeah, sorry about that. It's something she likes to do. So when we were in the car, I looked at my wife and I said in a serious tone, "The cashier called you a donkey tail because you kept adding to the cart while she was in we were in line." "Really?" She didn't sound convinced. "And what did you say?" I apologized to her and I told her that that's just what you like to do. "So you didn't defend me after she called me a donkey tail?" she asked. I knew I wasn't winning at this point. She continued, "Oh, okay, I see. Well, just to let you know," and she paused a beat, "the name of the plant I bought is a donkey tail." She was talking to you about the dumb plant. "Who's the donkey tail now?" She rolled her eyes and let me marinate in that for a minute, and then eventually started laughing. I pretended it was because she thinks of me as her lovable numbskull. Thanks for the great show and keeping me chuckling, Mike Jones from California. So,
oh, man.
Awesome.
It's a donkey. I wouldn't have known.
No.
I mean, it's donkey tail, yeah.
It's a secret lingo in the check linester world that, you know, here comes another donkey tail.
comes the donkey tail. I mean, what if his response would have been different to that, you know, instead of him saying it's something, I can't help my wife, you know, she just, she keeps picking stuff up.
She's totally a donkey tail, I agree.
She's totally a donkey tail. What'd you say?
It sounds like a hairstyle to me, honestly. Like,
that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Like, call my wife.
That's what I was thinking the end of the story was going to be, is like, well, did you notice how your hair is pulled back into a donkey tail? Not a ponytail. Yeah, that's what girls wear. Donkey tail.
Men wear donkey tails. That's great. That's John right. Steinklobber right there. Men wear donkey tails.
That's right.
Oh, oh, that's great. That's good stuff. All right. This one's called Blessing Jesting, and it's from Emmy Holloway. Tonight, I was having family prayer with my two kids, age 3.5 and 6, and we settled in at the couch. I was on my knees, facing my hands, with each of them on either side of me. They kept squirming and wiggling, as kids do. I was trying my best not to become irritated because, you know, I'm praying after all. Yeah, Lord.
That's right, amen.
Please help these kids to hold still before I beat the crap out of them. You know. So I popped my head up and I said, "Now y'all need to settle down. It's prayer. It's prayer time." So I told them that they could pray too. So I put my face back down in the couch, and my 3.5-year-old daughter, Chloe, squirms and twists next to me. And I hear her say, "Jesus, please bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen." Oh, wait, wrong prayer. She laughs. And I stifled my laugh and went on praying. Emmy Holloway. Emmy, you got to let it out, girl. Laugh. Yep. Laugh. Jesus was like, "Emmy, hold on. Hold on. We're still laughing about what your daughter said. We can't hear you hold right now."
Because she's obviously not eating right now unless she's found something in those couch cushions, which is quite possible when you've got a 2 and a 3.5-year-old.
Absolutely.
Or a 3.5 and a 6-year-old.
You never know. You never know what you got in there. We have some announcements. Hats are available on Etsy. Make sure you pick one up. Subscribe to That Story Show YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JamesWKennison. And then our theme show.
Our next theme show. Only Canada stories. All Canada, all the time.
All right. Our theme show is Thursday, November 16th. So you've got roughly a month to get your stories in. We know you are out there, Canadians. We know you listen. I have proof in the analytics of the podcast that there are plenty of you out there. We want you to represent your country and send us some stories based on Canada stuff or whatever. Maybe you're an American. You've had a trip to Canada. We just want to represent America's hat. So this podcast is possible because of our members who support us, even though they don't have to. Get That Story Show premium with includes ad-free listening swag and a weekly bonus podcast. Try it out for free for 7 days at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And I want to say thanks to our newest members, Donnie Trapnell. Thank you so much. He tried out the 7 days and liked it so much he stayed. So there you go.
Cool.
Special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Kerry Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Guys, it's time for us to get out of here. Surely you have a funny life story. Send it to the show. Submit your story at thatstory.show and call it in toll free at 833-55-STORY. And while you're there, join our mailing list. And remember, hilarious life stories, we all have one, so you need to share yours on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks, James.
Thanks to Vinny Coppola. Coppola? How do you say it?
Coppola.
Coppola. Coppola. There we go.
Yeah, like cola with cola. Coppola.
Oh.
That was good stuff.
Drinking in the morning, it's what I like to do. I hire comedians, then I have to go poo. So I wear a towel around my waist in case it gets close. I can drop that thing and go inside and do the most of what I want to do.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.